folks. It is Friday, January 25th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold suburbs of Chicago, where we actually have snow on the ground. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. You will see a lot of very interesting links associated with each guest that will help to contribute to your knowledge about that particular day's discussion, plus a few other interesting things that are relevant. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1 at yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guests today are John Benson and Glenn Ambort. Glenn is John's associate and editor. The website is no1040tax.com. That's no1040tax.com. John is the author of Taxation by Misrepresentation, also Why Obamacare Must Be Voluntary, and Sun Tzu Petition to IRS Chief Counsel. Welcome to the program, John and Glenn.
Thank you, Diana. Nice to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. All right. Which one is which? Glenn, say something.
Well, John's book, so probably John ought to introduce it. I've been working with John for over 21 years, and when I had met him way back, you know, when Noah was floating the ark, John had spent over 15 years researching the Constitution, the founding documents of our nation, and zeroed in on the tax code because it was a code that lent itself to some intense and deep study as to where we've gone astray from the Constitution. I know today the Constitution is considered by many people in the establishment as, you know, I think George Bush II, the state was it just a piece of paper. And that's true. That's all it is if the people don't give some real meaning to it. And John has spent his life, the latter part of his life, almost 40 years, researching the Constitution, our founding documents, you know, where we went astray and what our founders had in mind and how far we've deviated from that. So with that, I'm going to let John take over.
All righty, John, let me hear your voice so I can differentiate between the two of you.
All right, Deanna.
Okay.
This is John. And, I'd like to say just a word about Glenn. You know, Glenn is a graduate from the Naval Academy in Annapolis, and so he's pretty well educated, and he took a first year law school at, I think it was UCLA, and decided he didn't particularly want to practice law, so he knows a little bit about law and researching law, and I know that there are some attorneys that have actually had him do some research for them and prepare briefs for them that have been winning briefs.
Great.
So,
gentlemen, I'm sorry, but we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Be right back.
We With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are: incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information. No obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit...
Our guests today are John Benson and Glenn Ambort, and that website is no1040tax.com. Now, I mentioned previously that John is the author of three books, and those books he's been kind enough to offer a reduced price today. Those books, you may order those books by going to that site, no1040tax.com. And those books are Taxation by Misrepresentation, also Why Obamacare Must Be Voluntary, and Sun Tzu Petition to IRS Chief Counsel. And I think everybody is really concerned currently about Obamacare and feeling the pressure to figure out how they can get out of it, or how, whether it's going to be repealed. And I think we have as much chance of having it repealed as people who are still talking about repealing Roe versus Wade. What do you think, John?
Well, I think that's probably true with the current Congress we have. When a little of the taxes kick in that it's going to bring with it, people might in the next election vote in the Senate that would go along with the House, and there could be a chance of some repeal, but not much at this point.
Right. Now, you indicate that it must be voluntary, and your booklet, I think it was 27, 29 pages long. I think it's a very good read, and I think that that you offer some legitimate reasons why it is voluntary and why people typically will not understand that. And you mentioned a few radio hosts, and including Rush Limbaugh, that are kind of going along with this without even asking, well, why? Why is this? Why did Chief Justice Roberts adjudicate this the way that he did, and what can we do about it? So why don't you tell us what we can do about the situation?
All right. Well, I think that in a sense, Chief Justice did us a favor because he draws attention to the fact that if you don't voluntarily pay the tax or the, you know, get your insurance, that then what kicks in is the just an addition to your income tax. So if you're not liable to the income tax, then if you don't pay by your insurance, then you're not liable to any penalty or, you know, nothing kicks in. And so it draws attention to the fact that the income tax is and must be voluntary. And that gets back to the whole premise of the book Taxation by Misrepresentation, where we go into a great detail to point out why the income tax is voluntary, and not only why it is, but it must be. And of course, you get into the IRS. They, in the excellent movie of, what is his name, Aaron Russo,
mm-hmm.
from what, slavery to, or I mean, freedom to serfdom, or fascism.
Fascism,
right. Sort of the same thing, that he interviews ex-commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, Sheldon Cohan, and before he was commissioner of the IRS, he had been the chief counsel to the IRS, so he ought to know a little bit about their operations, and he's telling Mr. Russo that the income tax is voluntary, and Russo says, points out, well, you know, if you don't pay it, they got all these nice little things. And he still insists it's voluntary. And you got Harry Reid in an interview with Jan Helf, I don't know how he pronounces his last name, saying the same thing. And you have the ex-head of the Alcohol Tobacco Bureau, or Division of the Bureau of Internal Revenue. That's back in 1953 when he was testifying before the House Ways and Means Committee. Says that the alcohol tobacco tax is 100% mandatory, but the income tax is 100% voluntary. And so if you understand that the income tax is voluntary, must be voluntary, 100%, then what Chief Justice Roberts is doing is drawing attention to us to that fact, and maybe that's what we ought to be looking at, is why that income tax is voluntary.
Okay, and of course, since that premise is built on income tax, basically, then we need to evaluate that. And of course, as you mentioned in your booklet, nobody, none of the radio hosts are really drawing any attention to this, but just kind of accepting it without asking the hard questions that they should be asking.
Well, that's right. And, of course, most of the people on the income tax, we are so conditioned that it's imposed upon us by an act of Congress. That is, the government, every branch of the government, your senators, your representatives, the IRS, the Department of Justice, you know, they all lead you to believe that liability to the income tax and your duty to file a 1040 return are mandated by statutes duly enacted by Congress. But there are no such statutes. Nobody can find one. Nobody will produce one. The IRS, they never, in any of their correspondence to you or their legal process, ever mention a statute that imposes either the liability to the tax or the duty to file a return. And you have such cases like Tommy Cryer, who was an attorney from Louisiana, who had worked for a number of years in drafting statutes there at the state of Louisiana, who knows just a little bit about then how to read the statute. When this was pointed out to him, there was none. He thought it was ridiculous. So he did a in-depth study on it, and he found out he couldn't find any statute that imposed this liability on you. So they prosecuted. He quit paying his tax, and the IRS prosecuted him for willful failure. And the jury acquitted him because they pointed, his attorney would point out to the IRS, you know, why don't you produce the statute here that makes him liable? And they wouldn't. So the jury looked at that and said, well, hey, if there is no statute, how can he be liable? And but most of the time you go to a jury, you don't have an attorney that's going to get that point across to them. So the IRS never has to prove that you're liable to the tax. The jury just presumes it. And the IRS, their basic argument was, now, ladies and gentlemen, we, none of us like to pay our taxes. But we all know that come April the 15th, you've got to file your tax return and pay your tax. But this defendant over here, he thinks he's better than that. In other words, they don't prove any, give any evidence. They just have an emotional appeal to the jurors because they have to pay that tax. He's got to pay it. And the juries, hey, that's what they buy. And so they'll find them guilty. And they got a 90%+, you know, rate of conviction. But you get somebody that really goes in and makes that point to the jury, and you get some acquittals. But so we get down to the fact, well, hey, if there is nothing that makes us liable, then how do they get away with this? And that's where we get into the book, the title of the book, Taxation by Misrepresentation. That is, they try to represent to you, that is the government, every agency and branch of it, that this liability of the tax and the duty to file the Form 1040 return is imposed upon you by an act of Congress, but they know that that is not so. And they know that you must voluntarily obligate yourself to it. Now, of course, it's very elementary that you may obligate yourself to the government to some liability to which it has no authority to impose upon you by the Constitution. That's pretty fundamental. And the way we do that is basically by contract. And so when you really get into it, you'll find out that the Form 1040 is a private contract that you must voluntarily sign and agree to. And to understand this, the most important case and thing that you must understand to understand our tax law is a case back in the 1852 known as Murray's Lessee versus Hoboken Land Improvement Company. Now, that was the first time the Supreme Court ever considered the meaning of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. And it happened to be a revenue case. And they had done an audit on the collector of the customs at the Port of New York and found he was short and $1.3 million paying over to the Treasury what he had collected. And so his property was seized without giving him the benefit of a trial to satisfy that debt. Now, the issue before the court in that case was, does that meet due process? Can you seize a person's property to pay for a tax liability without giving them a right to a trial? And that was the issue before the court. And the court pointed out, well...
John, yes. we do need to break for a commercial. This is very, very interesting. I'm really glad that you're here today and talking about this. We'll be right back.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. G-E-O-F-F-L-A-W-T-O-N.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life.
Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Our guests today are John Benson and Glenn Ambort, and the website is no1040tax.com. No1040tax.com. And John, you were talking about some of the ramifications of why people accept where there is no statute that demands it.
Well, yeah, and the reason, of course, is that they don't understand this peculiar type of contract that the Form 1040 is. But the Supreme Court, as I say in Murray's Lessee, when they were determining whether this seizing people's property to satisfy a tax without giving them a trial met due process, they said that since that was the first time they had considered the meaning of the due process clause, that since due process wasn't defined in the Constitution, and that is a restraint upon Congress as well as the other branches, Congress could not make any process it wanted due process, so they had to establish a test to determine whether a process that Congress establishes meets due process required by the Fifth Amendment. And so they said to do that, they established a test, and first was, well, the process could not violate any provision of the Constitution. And secondly, it had to correspond in principle to a process that was in use in England at the time the Fifth Amendment was ratified in 1791. And then they went back to see, you know, said if there's anything in the Constitution that prohibited that, and they found there was none. And they went back to England to see if there was such a process that the king could seize people's property to satisfy a tax without giving them the benefit of a trial, and they found that there was such a process. And the process they found that it corresponded to, that the Congress had prescribed, corresponded to in principle, or mirrored, was what was known as a statute staple. Now that was a particular type of contract, and it got its name from the fact that there was an act, this system of contract law was enacted by the Parliament in 1353 in an act entitled the Statute of the Staple. Staple is French for market, so that was the statute of or for the market. In those days, all the laws of England were written in French, as were all of the proceedings in its court in French, because it was the Norman French kings governing England. So a statute that was written in accordance with this special system of contract law that was established for the commodity traders of the day was known as a statute staple. That's what that contract, that type of a contract, was simply called a statute staple. Now the statute staple really was an amendment to the Statute of Merchants, enacted in 1285, or known as the Law Merchant, which was established because the foreign merchants were refusing to trade in England, because if they got stiffed on a contract, they didn't have time enough to stick around and go through the long procedures of the common law to enforce its payment. And so they were just refusing to trade with England, and that represented a lot of taxation to the king, plus the people had commodities, you know, that they liked, their wines and various spirits and so forth that was imported. And so they enacted this special system of contract law for the commodity traders, and that had some very onerous conditions to it. That is, number one, the debtor agreed that he conveyed title to his body and to all of his possessions to the creditor with a defeasance that if it was paid on time, a defeasance means that it defeated the conveyance if it was paid on time. But if it wasn't paid on time, he had title to everything the debtor owned, and he could go immediately and start collecting without getting a judgment of the default. And so this special system of contract was known as a specialty debt, and it only had required two things. First, it had to be acknowledged the debt, and second, it had to be signed under seal. And then all of the terms and conditions were the terms and conditions that were set forth in the Statute of the Staple. That is, the debtor conveyed to the creditor all of the title to his property, plus various penalties, you know, if he didn't pay, and that if he defaulted, that the creditor had a power of attorney to go enter the default of the debtor and proceed immediately to collection. Now, later, the Supreme Court cites a statute where Parliament provided that any specialty debt due to the king was going to be this statute staple type of contract, this peculiar type of contract.
John, hold on. We do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree?
Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are John Benson and Glenn Ambort. And, John, you've been talking about some of the details in your book, Taxation by Misrepresentation. And people can get that book actually for a reduced price by going to your website, which is no1040tax.com. And that 1040 that people fill out is really the contract that they are telling the government that they are willing and they are volunteering to pay this tax, when in fact they really don't need to.
Right. And so at any rate, the Supreme Court in this Murray's Lessee case, that's back in 1852, pointed out that this process meant due process, seizing people's property before giving them a right to a trial by jury to satisfy a tax debt, because it corresponded to this statute staple contract back in England when the Fifth Amendment was ratified in 1791. Now, you got the same thing when you look at a Form 1040 today. The only requirements, and you can go into Black's Law Dictionary, particularly the fourth edition, and look under contract, and then you get down to or look under specialty debt or specialty contract, and as a subheading under contract, and it will tell you that a specialty debt, this type of contract, was determined by its form and form alone. You didn't need any consideration or offer in acceptance, like normal contracting. It was determined by its form and form alone. If the contract was in the form of a statute staple or a specialty debt, which is what a statute staple is, then it was that type of contract. And the only two things that was required to meet that form was, number one, it acknowledged the debt. Number two, it be signed under seal. Okay, you look at a Form 1040. You acknowledge your liability to the income tax for the particular year stated on the form. So you acknowledge the debt. Now, do you sign it under seal? Well, they have that little penalty of perjury statement there just above your signature, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, you go into the 28 United States Code, Section 1346, I think it is, and it gives that statement the effect of a seal. That is just the same as if you had a notary public there that you sign in front of and put a seal on it by signing it under that penalty of perjury jurat statement. So by its form and form alone, the Form 1040 is identifiable as this type of a contract. Now, all of the terms and conditions was set forth in another document. You know, back in England, it was set forth in the statute of the staple. And that was known as a recognizance, because when the person signed the basic executory instrument with just those two little, you know, elements to meet the form, they agreed also to all of the terms and conditions. So they called it a recognizance. They recognize all these terms and conditions that were set forth in the other document as part of the contract. Well, that recognizance today we know as Title 26, the United States Code, the Internal Revenue Code. So when you sign the Form 1040, agreeing to the liability of the income tax, you also agree to all of the terms and conditions in the Internal Revenue Code.
And several hundred pages.
Oh, yeah, right, several thousand, really. But and when you go into them, as I say, this peculiar type of contract, you conveyed title to everything you own that if you didn't pay, they could seize. Well, you go on to Section 6221 of the Internal Revenue Code, and it provides that once they've done their assessment and served you notice and demand for payment, and you don't pay within 10 days, they have a lien upon all of your property and interest in property. That's your conveyance of title.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you go into Section 6331. That mirrors their levy procedures. That is the right to come out and take your property after the, you know, the 10 days, and they have the lien on all your property, which is really title to your property. 6331 provides the provision for the what we would know in the law as the execution, that is seizing the property to satisfy the debt. And in Section 6331 of the code, it provides that they can make levy, that is seize all your property. But before they can do that, they must serve upon you a notice of intention to levy, at least 30 days before they can seize anything. Well, that corresponded back in England to what was known as a Sierra Fascis, that the king, because he was given his debt summarily, I'll get into that in just a moment, before he actually, that if you voluntarily paid this assessment, then you agreed to it. It was considered you agreed to it by voluntary payment. And so that met due process required by Magna Carta. But if you didn't voluntarily pay it, then the king was required, and he had no choice in the matter. The common law, because Magna Carta required it, the common law required he serve on the person, the Sierra Fascis, which is Latin for make known. And it's really make known this debt that we want, we're going to enforce by levy. And tell the person that he could appear in the Court of Exchequer, that was the King's High Court of Common Law, having jurisdiction over all revenue matters, by a particular day, and enter his plea. And if he did, and he denied the debt, then the king had to give him a trial by jury to prove the validity of the debt. We have the same thing in Section 6331, known as the Notice of Intention to Levy, which is really just the statement in English, what the Sierra Fascis stated in Latin back in England. But nobody knows that that's what it really is the Sierra Fascis. And so nobody has ever, no attorney that I can find, has ever gone into the court and made these arguments, and so we have been denied that fundamental right. Even though we supposedly volunteer, before they can come out and seize your property, they've got to give you this right, with one exception back in England. That exception was that if they had an affidavit that the debt was in danger of collection because the guy was insolvent, or he was going to leave the country, or he had died, and therefore to get the money before it was distributed to other people, if they had an affidavit with one of those three conditions, they could seize the property without giving him the notice of intention to levy. And you got the same thing in 6331 today. So while the code is set up to ensure that we have a right to a trial by jury other than in those three conditions before any seizure, nobody knows that. And Murray's lessee happened to be the collector was insolvent. And there's a couple other cases that the Supreme Court and that the IRS rely upon to authorize this seizure without giving you a trial. And both of those happen to meet that condition, of the affidavit that the debt was in danger. But they use that to justify denying it to everybody. But the premise that they use, because nobody knows this, they get away with denying the right to a trial by jury to everybody. Now, so what you have is when you sign that Form 1040, you voluntarily obligate yourself to the liability of the income tax and to all of the terms and conditions with all of its civil and criminal penalties and with its ability to proceed summarily without a trial. You agree to that. It's a contractual agreement, but nobody knows it. And so they have gotten away with it. And
so if a person never fills out that 1040, they have never agreed to, they have never signed that contract, so they don't acknowledge the debt, and so they don't ever have to worry about paying income tax?
Well, you would think so, but our public servants are very crafty people. And they have come up and devised a system in the law to get your signature on a contract even though you've never signed it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And that is standard in not only in the revenue law, but in the Uniform Commercial Code, which is the code that all of the states have adopted for contract law today, and that the Supreme Court has held in Kimball Foods will be used as federal law unless it would defeat some purpose of Congress. It provides in what is known as the Statute of Frauds, that is, I believe, Section 2.20-something. I don't remember, it's 207, I think. But at any rate, if you go into the Uniform Commercial Code, you can pull it up on the Internet and just look under in Article 2 and the various provisions, and you'll find the Statute of Frauds. And it provides that if they send you a what's known as a confirmatory writing. That is, they send you a letter that says, we think we got a contract for this year. And the person received it has reason to know its content. And he does not object to it within 10 days, then it is considered that there is a written contract with his signature on it. So you don't file a return. The IRS sends you out a little innocuous-looking letter that says it's known as this, Form CP-518. And in it, it says, our records show we haven't received your return, the following return, and then they say Form 1040 for the year umpty-ump, or if there's more than 1 year, they will note each one of them separately, that we haven't received your return for these years. Now, if you don't recognize that that's a confirmatory writing and you don't respond to it within the time prescribed by the law, then it's considered that they have a Form 1040 with your signature on it by operation of law, even though you've never signed it.
So if you just put that letter aside and you don't sign it, then they automatically sign it for you and obligate you to pay the income tax.
Absolutely. What they do is they consider that you've agreed and they have your signature on a Form 1040. And then they will send you out. Then they actually make an assessment.
Wow.
And they show zero liability. But what that assessment does is it shows your liability to the tax. Now they can go in and use their deficiency procedures. You volunteered to the tax, and in doing so, you've also agreed in the deficiency procedures in the Internal Revenue Code, which is found in Section 6211 through 6215, that they may compute that tax for you. And so they prepare, they compute the tax, and they on a particular form, and they attach that to what's known as the Notice of Deficiency or the 90-day letter, and they send that out to you. And if you want to, you have 90 days to appeal it to the tax court. And if you don't appeal it to the tax court, it's considered again you've agreed to it. And so now they can go ahead and make another assessment where they assess the amount they computed that you owed. Yeah. If you do petition to the tax court, then you get to go through the little dog and pony show of the tax court. And whatever the tax court finds that is the deficiency, they consider, the statutes say, and the regulations there, deficiency statutes and regulations state, that what the tax court finds that you owed, it is considered you agreed to, and you computed and agreed to or assessed yourself on your Form 1040.
Wow. Now, what if you somehow slip through the cracks and you never receive a confirmatory writing where they can have your signature on a 1040. What if you never get that form?
Well, of course, that's a defense, and if it's properly raised, they should have to show and produce their documentation that you that they sent you the notice, and so there's a lot of technicalities in there. And most attorneys have no idea how to defend against that, but there is defenses. But not only is there defenses against that, but there's defenses against the whole liability. But of course, if you don't know what those were back in England, you cannot recognize how they're provided for in the code today, even though they are. And so they're denied to it. And when you get back into this whole process, the defense or the Supreme Court in the Murray's Lessee also points out that the process is relative to the collection of the king's taxes, his revenues, varied widely
from the usual course of the common law on other subjects. Now, what that is telling us is they've got a special procedure for revenue matters that is common law procedures in England in 1791 that varied widely from the usual course of the common law.
John, we probably should break right here because we are going to a commercial break. This is fascinating information, and there's so much information out there that it's hard to determine whose book to buy or what people should do. But you're providing some background I don't think we've ever heard before. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TheraVim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Back to our guests today are John Benson and Glenn Ambort. And the website is no1040tax.com. We have heard from other guests on this program that one actually has to work for the government or use government properties in order to earn income, and that they are the only ones liable for paying income tax. I mean, we've just heard so many things, and it's confusing, and I think it's deliberately confusing. And of course, as you say, the tax code is thousands of pages long, and most of us are not going to look into the code, and we're also intimidated when we hear about somebody going to jail that probably should know enough to avoid going to jail, then we become frightened. And that's true with anything, whether you're talking about going to jail because you refuse a smart meter on your home or anything. We are all intimidated. So we go along like a bunch of sheep.
Well, that's right. You know, where the word terrorism originated was in the French Revolution. And what it meant, if you go into Oxford Dictionary of the English Language, its first usage was there in the French Revolution. It is government by intimidation. And in that sense, the IRS is the greatest terrorist organization in the world. And they prosecute people by a few thousand, about 2,000 generally a year criminally, as an example to terrorize the people and use their civil penalties, lavishly to terrorize the people to pay that tax because they think that it's mandated. But hey, their process, they always make sure that they've got a Form 1040 where you volunteered to that before they do those things. And as I say, in Murray's Lessee, the court pointed out that this summary process meant due process. And that was before any income tax had been enacted. But they also pointed out that this process varied widely from the usual course of the common law on other subjects. But then in the mid-1930s, in a case known as U.S. versus Bull, the Supreme Court, in another case, involving this time the income tax, of a deceased person, so the exception was met of not giving him the right to a trial by jury, that is, his estate, the right to a trial by jury before seizing the property. They point out that an assessment is given the force and effect of a judgment. Now you go back into England, that's what assessment. The technical meaning of the word assessment in the Exchequer, the King's Treasury, was the entering of a judgment upon the judgment roll of the Court of Exchequer. That's what assessment was. So they had to have a judgment before they could enter it. A Form 1040, that is a statute staple contract, was a judgment by confession. And you got one of the Supreme Court justices in a case, I don't remember the case right now, where he states that this is a judgment by confession. But in U.S. versus
John, we do have to take our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID. Perfect. And we need to know how to deal with this. So hopefully we can address some solutions in the next hour. Be right back.
With financial